Welcome to the Cattleman's Corner. I'm Brian Hale, sitting in for the late Howard Hale, as we continue his legacy of speaking with cattlemen and women from around the globe. Welcome to today's program, and we have our host, David Woodruff, who's always full of surprises. Let's listen in to see what he has going on today.
You heard about the guy that said there was this herd of cows, and the other guy said, "Herd of cows? Heck yes, I've heard of cows." And he said, "No, I mean a cow herd." He said, "That's all right. I didn't say nothing I'm ashamed of."
Yeah, right. Brian is going to be wondering what's going on, so I got to say we're talking to Keith Flake. He's a partner in the Flake Ranches out south of Apache Junction. Maybe I should ask you to tell us where the ranch is and how big it is and what you're doing.
Well, we're squeezed in here just east of Apache Junction or Mesa, Gold Canyon area between Apache Junction, Queen Creek, Florence Junction. About 50 sections of state lease. We don't own an acre, and part of it's being developed. Part of it is overrun with recreationists, so we have our hands full.
So did you say 56 sections?
About 50 sections, yeah.
50, okay. So now, are you Rolf's youngest brother?
I am. That's what they tell me. That's what they tell me anyway.
We've had Rolf and Reed on I don't know how many times, so now we've lived. We have Keith.
Okay, and one more time, you have to tell me, what am I on?
I'm on Harvest,
a podcast.
A Harvest USA radio show and podcast. And
oh, my goodness.
It'll probably cross over to Cattleman's Corner also. It's Hale Multimedia out of Nebraska and Texas, kind of two bases. It was started, 35 years ago by Howard Hale, and he's kind of a voice like Paul Harvey. And he passed away, and I'd been a guest on the show, and he said... Brian said, "Hey, I'm awful busy. Can you help us?" And so I said, "Yeah, I'm a techno peasant, but who knows? I might be able to learn my way around there." I was to the branding day before yesterday. Thank goodness Rolf invited me to come out, and I was shocked. The desert floor is brilliant green. You got how much rain did you get to get that grass cover?
As I recall, about 3 1-inch rains that would be, you know, maybe close to an inch, sometimes 3/4. And the spacing was pretty good. That was kind of like a week apart. So we figure the desert is going to make like a crop, you know. It's going to put on seed, but it comes fast. And man, when it turns 100 degrees, it goes fast.
Yeah. So you brought in what, 3 semi-loads of calves?
Depending on the weights. This year we haven't been able to buy exactly what we wanted, and the price has been out of sight.
Yeah.
So we've been kind of picking up anything we could, and I think we're up to about 8 or 9 truckloads total right now. And we could put out that many more, but the cattle are so expensive that the gamble becomes greater this year.
Oh yeah,
we're paying $400 to $500 more per head for similar cattle than we did last year. We have, I think, the most I've ever put out on this day has been about 2,200 head, and the least has been zero for a year.
Yeah,
when there just wasn't anything.
The mesquite beans, there may be some, or when you get a year without any rain. The trees don't put any beans?
Oh, it varies from year to year. The mesquite beans, I start looking, I'll probably see the first bean in the middle of April, and then it'll be another 2 or 3 weeks before there's much of a crop. We used to keep a herd of cows here year-round, and they were really bean harvesters.
Yeah.
Because sometimes now we're trying to get into the feedlot before the bean crop really comes on good. They kind of have to learn to eat beans, and they really go on them. They are just plain old frijoles is what they are, hanging in the tree in pods.
Si, senor. So the calves don't really do wonderful on beans because they just haven't learned, huh?
Well, we are usually just don't have the timing. We're headed to the feedlot, but, you know, almost every year, we used to have mother cows, and, of course, they the beans.
They would eat the beans.
The beans are important to us, just not as important as they used to be when we were here year-round.
Yeah.
We used to be on the desert year-round. Now we're not.
There's grass. You bring them in. You get the calves from where?
They come from Mexico, from Nogales.
Sonora?
Yes, sir.
four.
They could come from Hermosillo or as far south as Ciudad Obregón. And you get too far south in Mexico, then their cattle, and they know it, that become a little bit too bramery.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Ones that turn and go the other direction there, they're better for the Mexican market.
So now, when you say too bramery, is there temperament? I've heard that bramers are kind of hard to handle.
Well, I don't worry about the temperament as much as just the fact that they're not going to feed out in the feedlot like the crossbred.
They'll make enchiladas.
And there, as you could see, there was a touch of Brahma.
Yeah.
In quite a few of the ones that we had there.
Yeah.
You had quite a little bit of Charlet influence, and Simmental, just a little bit of everything. The Mexicans are doing a good job with crossbreeding. And a lot of times they're buying bulls up here in the United States and taking them down to keep their programs going. So they've been very good.
So you sound like you know some Spanish too.
Well, once upon a time I was a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ as a 20-year-old in Mexico, and
just like
I did, I did learn some Spanish.
Yeah, just like girl. Well, I tell people, de español lo sé suficiente para ser peligroso. and one
Andale,
guy,
pues.
No hablo mucho. Once I have a son who was in Monterrey, and I had a class at BYU, and so I got a real good accent, but I don't have any knowledge of any of it. Both my wife and I drive school bus, and they hire us to take greenhouse workers into Lethbridge to Shaw on weekends. And three-quarters of these workers are from Mexico. We have a temporary foreign worker program in Canada. So they're all legal, and they work their buns off in this greenhouse raising flowers. And then they like to go to Lethbridge and get some. There's a store on the way that the cheapest place to buy tortillas in southern Alberta that I know of. And I'm glad on that, because when I get low, I go in there and Picture Butte and pick up a couple of, they sell them in 100-unit bags. I get two of those bags, and they'll do Rachel and me for a long time.
Okay, it's time for us to take a break, and when we come back, we will find out more about David's broken Spanish. In today's world, our body's immune system is critical to staying alive and healthy. Find the best immunity system building products at greengoldnaturalhealing.com. My wife and I believe so much in these products that we became representatives in order to help others. Visit greengoldnaturalhealing.com. And as always, thanks again for listening, and may God bless. I'm Brian Hale. We're back to hear more about David's broken Spanish with Arizona rancher Keith Flake. Let's listen in.
I know enough to be dangerous, and they all laugh, but one guy ducked. And I said to my son Jackson, so what's that? And he said, well, you know, it doesn't always translate out the way we think it's going to be. So I said, so what really happened is I told him I know enough to be a murderer. He said, yeah, probably.
Yeah, well, migrants coming from Mexico and all points south, Central America, they come through Arizona, maybe headed up to Canada, but from time to time, they cross the ranch right here where we are.
So they come through the ranch.
I had one that came through, and he was dying of thirst, hadn't eaten. He was a sad sight.
Oh, my goodness.
And we were able to do a little bit for him. We were able to get him sent on his way, get some food and water and a night's sleep. And that son of a gun has thanked me by text message. He didn't have a cell phone at the time. The coyote had taken away his cell phone because he didn't want to be caught. The coyote's the handler, the guy.
Oh, yeah.
He got to his relative's house, which was in Wisconsin. Then he's been texting me and thanking me over again, saying, you saved my life. Well, what would anybody do?
Yeah. Well, it's when people are grateful, it's so wonderful. So
yeah.
How do you spell that coyote?
Coyote. It's like a coyote, but in Spanish. C-O-Y-O-T-E. Coyote is quite often a schemer. He's tied in with the cartels. He has to pay his dues, and he charges an enormous amount to transport illegals. he has to be pretty careful because he is the one the Border Patrol would most like to get a hold of, so they stay pretty undercover.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would ever come in touch with any contact with stuff like this. And when I was out there the other day at the branding party, it never entered my head that you would have these people coming across.
You created a first. I have never done a branding or working cattle anywhere to entertain us while we ate lunch. You did a first for me. That was good.
I'm so out of practice, and that guitar, I'll bring some of it on that guitar. It's hard, and there was no strap, and I felt like I did a lousy job for you folks. Felt terrible. You can go to my YouTube channel. It's just as bad.
It was the best song I'd heard all day.
The competition was really fierce, wasn't it?
Yeah. We had a good crew going though, didn't we?
Oh, Kent, wonderful guy,
Larry.
I hope I wasn't in the way, but I just so enjoyed talking to Larry. I wish I had more time to talk to Richard, because Rolf's always mentioning him when he puts the posts up on Facebook. And
Richard has just been so good to Rolf, and to bring him out to the whenever he's felt like it. There's been three or four times this year he's brought him out, put him in the shade, and let him get his eyes full.
People are really great, really wonderful. Gene's listening, but I said, Gene, that rhymes with queen, and that would be not quite enough. She's one. They're wonderful. Oh my goodness.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll tell you what a blessing for me to have an older brother that is such a inspiration. Each one of my brothers can teach me something. Been around Rolf almost every day. We've been doing this ranch. Of course, I go home weekends, sometimes stay longer, and he had been here like every day. We have to keep a close presence. I had a call last night. Ironwood is a very busy road. A lot of work going on it, and a dirt biker came through the ranch, hit a gate where he opened it, threw it around, and went on. I could tell by his tracks, and so we had 17 head of steers on a very busy road last night. They were on Ironwood, and they went a half mile south, and then I guess they got turned around and came back in. And I just checked them out just now just to be sure that everything's okay. They're all back in. Because it was dark last night when I was checking track. But that's what makes this kind of ranching a whole different game is dealing with. And I have to say this. Dirt bikes have been really bad because it seems like the dirt bikers have little respect. Speaking of many of them, they're in a hurry. And they have pliers. And they want to go where they want to go. And now we have razors everywhere. And that's a different animal. And you know what I mean, the modern side-by-sides or whatever you want to call
them. Yeah, right, yeah. Side-by-sides, yeah.
Half of our desert, we are to have recreation people entitled to be there. And the other half, they're not supposed to be there. When there's only a barbed wire fence between them and where they want to go. And the signs don't mean a thing.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's my job today. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Herding cattle is no big deal, but herding the people is a real handful, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
More predictable.
So do you live in Snowflake?
I live in Snowflake usually now about half a year. I'll probably be back to Snowflake as soon as we kind of clean out the desert. It'll be July, and I'll be there until the desert greens next, hopefully December. And so that's the main place, though, is up there. And that's where we have our mama cows. And there's a brother that's between Rolf and me, Ray,
right,
he is a dang good rancher. And he's still going strong. And he's up there watching everything in Snowflake right now.
So how old is he?
Ray would be 85.
And Rolf is 92, you say?
Yeah, Ray is about 85, and Rolf is 92, and we have another brother that's between Ray and me. He's 3 years older than me, so he's 81, 82, right in there. And he was smart enough to stay away from ranching. So like somebody said, them Flake boys, three of them became ranchers and one made something of himself.
Well, look at this way. You and Rolf have been on the radio. Well, you'll be on the radio right away soon, so I'm not sure what that's worth, but I sure appreciate it because I got deadlines. I got things that I'd like to make sure I got something for Brian to put up on the server so the radio station's got something. You know, we pulled into Dave Lamoureux this morning, and here's three couples coming down the road, and they said they're from Kansas. I said, I'm another prayer boy. I'm from Alberta. And have you heard a Harvest USA report? Yes, we have. And I, all right.
Well, I did make a mental note that I've got to look it up. So,
yeah,
everybody ought to subscribe, right?
Well, that would be really nice. Yeah, there's supposed to be a podcast for me, so I can make some money at this. I will send you a link. So, do you folks do anything with horses?
Yes.
Just a snowflake?
Yeah. Right now, just up in Snowflake, we'd much rather work mama cows with horses. Down here on the desert, it seems like we have so many distances and so much country we have to see that sometimes, not always, but a quad can double the work. But up there, it's not the same. And so, yeah, we have horses up there. And Rolf's boy, Reed, who a lot of people know. You probably heard of Reed.
Rodeo Reed on YouTube. Yeah, he's been on the show.
Rodeo Reed.
I really promote that channel every chance I get.
He takes the horsemanship further than I do because he's a really good roper, and I've seen him do some incredible things. So,
yeah.
And we used to be in, you might know, we used to be in the business of providing roping cattle, but thank goodness we're not doing it right now.
Yeah.
He broke them all in, and he did a great, great job with that. And, of course, he still announces and drives that truck.
Yeah. Oh, that truck is beautiful. Well, hey, Keith, they're fixing to take Rolf to eye doctor's appointment. I got to get out here and get this guitar sent home and get my car back, so I'm going to have to say goodbye. And, oh, my, we ask the Lord's blessings on you and your guys and your cattle and fences.
Hey,
for
likewise.
Well, thank you.
And we pray double the blessings for you and for anybody listening. We are all blessed, and I hope that if we close on that note, you started it. If we close on the note of blessings, it just makes us feel really good to know how much Father loves us, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's really great. Well, adios, hermano.
Okay, portate bien.
Thank you.
Hasta luego, hasta la vista, hasta la próxima. Thank you,
David.
You
have a good one. Thank you so much. We'll see you.
Once again, that was our host, David Woodruff, with our guest, Keith Flake, from Flake Ranches in Arizona. Thanks for joining us for this extended version of the Cattleman's Corner, sponsored by GreenGoldNaturalHealing.com. There's more on the web at cattlemanscorner.com. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless. I'm Brian Hale.